This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's good? Thank you so much for tuning in once again to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. My name is Blair Angulo. We are going to be joined by Alan True. He's a national analyst who covers recruiting in the Midwest. We're going to talk Big Ten, and he put in a crystal ball pick recently for a Pac-12 school. We're also going to be talking to Gabe Brooks, who covers the great state of Texas, to break down all of the big prospects from the Elite 11 Finals that he's going to be keeping an eye on, as well as a big week for Mississippi State in the state of Texas. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts for a chance to be featured on a future mailbag episode. We've got a special treat for you later this week, our first ever mailbag episode where our team of analysts will answer reader questions. So if you want to get in on the fun in the future, please leave a 5-star review with your recruiting question and we'll do our best to answer it. Before we catch up with Alan True, let's begin with the kickoff. In case you missed it late last week, the Division I Council has extended the recruiting dead period in all sports through August 31st. What does that mean for recruiting? No in-person visits, no in-person evaluations until September at the very earliest. The 2021 cycle has been on record pace in terms of early commitments, and we could see that continue to rise in the coming months as recruits aim to take their spot in recruiting classes. So it's going to be very interesting in the next couple weeks to see how that adjusts, how that time frame for a lot of the prospects that might be waiting until they're able to take a closer look at some of their options and whether or not they lose the patience, right? Whether or not they see spots filling up in at a school that they wanted to go to, or if that forces some recruits to even push it even further back. The time frames, the timelines, all that is going to be very interesting to track. And we are now joined by Alan True. He covers Midwest recruiting for 24/7 Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Alan True. Alan, how are you doing?
Doing great, Blair. Happy to be on again.
Yeah, no, we had you to kick things off. It's been a little slower in the Midwest. We've been having to bring in a lot of guests from the Southeast, from the West Coast, some Texas, a lot of Northeast. There's been a lot of activity in Brian Doan territory. So happy to have you back on to discuss some things that have been going down in the Big Ten, as well as a crystal ball pick for a school out west that we're going to get into in a moment. But I did want to start with Michigan. They have a top 10 class as things stand heading into the summer. They had a couple commitments actually out west recently that we wanted to discuss. 4-star defensive lineman Quentin Somerville and composite 4-star wide receiver Christian Dixon. Somerville's from the state of Arizona. Dixon's from the state of California. Let's start with Somerville. You know, I cover him very closely, and a thing that stuck out to me when I spoke to him about his commitment to the Wolverines was when he got on the phone and he dialed up Jim Harbaugh, he said that Harbaugh was in his front lawn mowing the lawn shirtless, and he had to drop what he was doing. He dropped the lawnmower and ran around shirtless. That kind of speaks to Jim Harbaugh's energy and effort still in the recruiting trail and how he's getting things done. I feel like he still has that pull.
He does, and I think he initially came out of the gate. There was pictures of him shirtless at camp. He was climbing trees. He was, I think he was go-kart.
Yeah, he was holding sleepovers, remember that, where he was kind of maneuvering some of the rules, and he was having sleepovers at recruits' homes because of the 24-hour window, and he didn't want to have to travel too far to go to the next recruits' in-home visit. I mean, he was doing a lot of different things to garner some of those national headlines.
Yeah, and he was, you know, they were, this is when they were doing I think, a satellite camp every day for an entire month before the rules got changed. So he came out of the gate doing that. And then I think slowed up on those kinds of things a little bit. It felt like we can just go out and recruit now in a more standard way. And I think he's kind of bringing that back a little bit now. And I think that the shutdown has allowed him to Zoom with recruits. I think it's almost kind of reinvigorated him in the process.
I think it lends to his personality, right?
It does, and the personality of the staff. So I think that Michigan has really navigated the shutdown very well. They've navigated the virtual recruiting very well. And there was maybe a tinge of negativity as this pandemic was starting. They had taken some sleepers from the Northeast that had people wondering, like, why are they taking these guys? A couple in-state kids went elsewhere. And at the time, we were all kind of saying, well, let's just wait and see how this plays out. And as it has played out, and as the class has gone along, it's become a great class. You mentioned it being in the top 10. And based on some of the targets that are still left on the board, I think that it can easily stay in the top 10 when this thing is done, and maybe even push for top 5 if things break the right way.
Yeah, the number 2 class in the Big Ten behind rival Ohio State. They have the number 7 overall class as things stand right now in the team rankings. And what you look for, and I know Steve Wilfong, the director of recruiting, has been pointing this out, and it's a big point of emphasis for him, is the per average ranking per commit, right? So they're sitting around 89, in the 89 range. That's where you want to be. You want to be in the 90 range where you're averaging a 4-star commit, essentially, right? Per commit in the class. So I think Michigan's doing a good job there. They were able to add Christian Dixon this last week. Like I mentioned, a 4-star receiver from Modern Day High School out in California. And Josh Gattis, the offensive coordinator, also receivers coach, did a lot of heavy lifting here, beating a lot of the West Coast programs for him. And I think it's another indication of Gattis's power in terms of being able to go in and sell his vision for what that offense could be.
Well, he's always been known as a great recruiter. Alabama, Penn State, all of his stops, he's been known as a very smart, personable guy who can get on the trail and land some big-time recruits. He was so new at Michigan before and into the last cycle that he didn't really have anything to show those guys. And now with this group, he has a year under his belt to show them this is where we're headed with the offense. It was only the first year, but these are some of the things that I'm starting to implement. And he was able to kind of put his money where his mouth was in the last recruiting class. He talked a ton about speed and space. They recruited nothing but guys who could run. And so I think now you move that into this class and you have a guy who already was a good recruiter who now can tell these offensive recruits, I'm the play caller. This is my plan for you. I can show you some things. And, oh, by the way, has a top-ranked quarterback recruit in J.J. McCarthy to also sell these skill guys. And I think when you combine all of that together, it's no surprise that some of these skill players are signing up or looking to do so.
The Elite 11 finals kick off this week, and you mentioned J.J. McCarthy, the 5-star quarterback from IMG Academy in Florida, obviously committed to Michigan. If a quarterback like that goes to an event like the Elite 11 finals, comes out as the winner, let's hypothetically say that J.J. goes in there, wins the Elite 11 finals, is the top dog. How much does that propel a program like Michigan to continue to attract some of these offensive recruits?
Well, I think recruits will pay attention to it. And also at a time right now where there's really not a whole lot going on, these kids are going to be looking this week to see, what the pecking order is down there. And I also think for JJ, it's a chance to build some confidence heading into a new school at IMG where the competition level is going to be higher than what he saw at Nazareth Academy in Illinois the last 2 years. There's also like some jockeying at the top of our national board with those quarterbacks. I think we still feel like JJ's a top-end guy, but there's some other quarterbacks who have crept into his range or are looking to overtake him. And I think he could sort of reestablish himself this week as be a guy who's ranked exactly where he should be or a guy who should be a little bit higher. And so when I think you put all that together, it's definitely going to be something that offensive recruits will take note of. And like I said, there's only a couple left on the board from Michigan, but they're big ones.
We're joined by Alan True. He covers Midwest recruiting for 24/7 Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Alan True. Alan, from Michigan to Ohio State, when you're talking about the per commit average, it's extremely high, and it seems like they might be running away with the recruiting title right now. They lose Devontae Smith, a highly coveted cornerback from the state of Ohio. What are we hearing on Smith? What's the next step for him?
Well, the crystal ball is all pointing towards Alabama, and I think that the plan for him is to make another decision in somewhat in the near future. I do think there are going to be some other schools that try to slow him up and maybe try to sneak into that race here, but everything is pointing towards Alabama right now. So we'll see if anybody else can maybe slow that process down for him. But I think he's going to be a member of the Crimson Tide class in the not too distant future.
So an SEC top dog going into the Midwest, potentially to steal one away from the Ohio State Buckeyes. We had another SEC program, the national champion LSU Tigers, go into the Midwest recently to get a highly coveted, highly regarded offensive lineman, Garrett Dellinger. We were talking off air, Alan, about LSU's recruiting pool. Now that they are the champs, they're able to go into some other parts of the country. The running back commit is from the state of Ohio. They've got their top-rated commit is from the state of California, and now they're adding another piece from Michigan.
Yeah, they always have kind of maybe snuck into the Midwest a little bit, especially for offensive linemen. Joe Barksdale way back, and then Ethan Posich, and then recently Anthony Bradford. But it's always just been kind of picking off a guy here or there. And I think that they could start really building some momentum here with Garrett Dellinger. They did an excellent job recruiting him. They got him on campus late in November for an unofficial visit, which really helped matters. They really did a great job of keeping in contact with him. He talked about how they were FaceTiming him from the field before their semifinal playoff game. And that he was in a unique situation where he was at home during the shutdown, but his father was deployed in Iraq. He works with the government, and LSU was one of the schools that was able to get on Zoom and still connect with dad, even though he was overseas at that time. He's actually back in the States now. But I think that building that relationship and really getting personal with Garrett Dellinger, even though he was further away, helped them beat out some of the schools that were more local. I also think that as an Army kid, he was used to traveling around. The distance from home didn't bug him. And the chance to be developed by Coach Craig, it just put four offensive linemen in the NFL, and obviously winning the national title, all of those things was the perfect storm for Dellinger.
You know, LSU went into the state of Utah a couple years ago, and they got Siaki Ika, a four-star defensive tackle, and that was very rare, right? When I was speaking to the head coach at Salt Lake City East where Ika played, he was shocked that LSU was going out there to meet with Ika, and obviously Ika was able to get on the field as a true freshman last year and make an impact right away for LSU on their way to the national championship. They also went out to California and got Elias Ricks, who had grown up a big LSU fan, but had always considered that USC would be his destination. He's a true freshman now at LSU. But when you look at what they did and how they did it with a guy like Joe Burrow, right, who claims and really backs things up as a guy from the state of Ohio, do you feel like LSU now could be a potential roadblock for the likes of Michigan, for the likes of Ohio State and some of the other programs in the Big Ten in that market that are now, you know, having to not only fend off schools like Alabama, and I know Georgia goes up there quite a bit and tries to pull a lot of recruits, but now LSU can maybe go in there and get some reach as well.
Yeah, I think it just depends on how much LSU is going to want to emphasize the Midwest. I think, you know, they've got pretty good talent in their home state and obviously in the Southeast, and they can go over to Texas a little bit too. So I don't see the volume of kids in the Midwest being high, but they are going to come in and challenge for the top kids. And I think that's going to be where Michigan and Ohio State and Notre Dame and some of those schools and these schools all wanted Garrett Dellinger, by the way, that's where those schools are going to have to battle LSU. And LSU has done a good job of getting those kids down to campus. And they're striking earlier on guys. They just offered tight end Jackson Howard from Minnesota, who's only a freshman going into his sophomore year. So in the past, you haven't seen LSU maybe offer a Midwest kid that early. And they did here with Jackson. So I think they're starting to see some momentum in the Midwest. So where I don't think it'll affect Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Penn State, maybe as a whole, they will have to battle LSU for some top guys in the future.
yeah, they can be a little bit more selective as well. We are joined by Alan True, covers Midwest recruiting for us at 24/7 Sports. Like I said earlier, you can follow him on Twitter at Alan True. Alan, before we let you go, we got to go inside the crystal ball. You put in a pick recently for a player from the state of Wisconsin, Marcus Embo. He's a three-star offensive tackle, and you have him going to the Arizona State Sun Devils.
Yeah, so speaking of a little momentum in the Midwest, we talked about it with LSU. Arizona State has some. They have a commit from Michigan. They have a commit from the state of Wisconsin, who's not too far away from where Embo plays. And they're offering a ton of kids in the 21, 22, and 23 classes in the Midwest. And they're having some success with those guys. So with Marcus, I was on Nebraska, and other people thought Iowa State as well. But from what I've heard, those schools maybe slid back a little bit. He's talking more about Arizona State and Virginia and possibly Michigan State. He said straight up recently that Arizona State was his best relationship. And I think the kids out here, when you talk about Arizona State, kind of knew, hey, Arizona State's warm. We can look up pictures of the campus. We see it's a beautiful place. But then when you add the NFL coaching staff, especially on the offensive line, when you got a guy like Kevin Mawai there, and then it goes up to Herm Edwards, these are names that these kids can recognize or at least look pretty impressive once they Google these names. And some of them are a little younger than you and I, so they have to Google who Kevin Mawai and Herm Edwards are. But it comes back with some impressive results. So I think when you put all that together, they've got a young recruiting staff as well that's helping the off-the-field staff is. So when I put all that together, and Marcus saying that he has the best relationship with them, that's why I put the pick in. He's going to take all five officials in the fall, at least that's the plan right now. Arizona State will be one of them. So this isn't one where I put in the pick and I think, hey, this is about to happen coming up, or another school can't maybe change that position. But as things stand right now, I had to get off Nebraska, and Arizona State's the school that I think he feels the most comfortable with at the moment.
All right, Alan, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to speaking with you again soon.
No problem, Blair. Always a pleasure.
All right, that's Alan True. Like I said, you could follow him on Twitter, at Alan True, for all your Midwest recruiting info at 24/7 Sports. Stay right here. We're about to talk with Gabe Brooks about the state of Texas. You are listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
To the can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. I am Blair Angulo, now joined by another special guest. He is Gabe Brooks. He covers the great states of Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Oklahoma for 24/7 Sports. Gabe, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well. We're obviously, you know, trying to break everything down and discuss all the latest buzz and activity. And you had quite a bit of activity go down this last week. Let's start with Mississippi State going into the state of Texas for their third commitment already in the 2021 cycle.
Yeah, this, the staff that Mike Leach has assembled at Mississippi State, they're really emphasizing the state of Texas more. And it's something in recent years we've really seen a lot of out of state, not just out of state, from immediate like bordering states, you know, like LSU and Arkansas and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, but these, I guess you would call out of region schools, really emphasizing recruiting the state of Texas more. And Mississippi State has capitalized on that so far. And, you know, with Mike Leach's name carrying some weight in the Lone Star State, that certainly doesn't hurt. And that he's, you know, he's got a couple staffers who have recruited the state of Texas before as well. And they picked up Theodore Knox, a four-star slot receiver from the Woodlands, which is a big 6A program in the Houston metro area. Now, Knox is originally from Baton Rouge, but he moved to greater Houston before his junior year. He's, I think on paper, he's the fastest track athlete in Texas high school football in this 2021 class. He's got a 10.40 100-meter time from his sophomore year, a a 21.03 200 meter time. He's been verified at 4.42 as a sophomore in the 40. So he can really fly, and he'll fit well as a slot type in that air raid offense. But he's, you know, they've got three commitments for Mississippi State in Texas in this class. The other two are quarterbacks. Another four-star, Sawyer Robertson, and Daniel Greek, a three-star quarterback from Liberty Christian in Argyle, which is in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And they may not be done. There's a couple more guys that State's trying to get from here in Texas. Cannon Boone is an offensive lineman who's from the Houston area, from Dickinson High School between Houston and Galveston. And Dwayne Lofton is another guy that's definitely on their radar. He's from Fort Worth Northside, and he's one that could possibly play receiver or DB, just depending on what you need him to do. So Mississippi State's been really active in Texas compared to years past, and there's more targets out there on the board for him.
Yeah, it's an interesting time, obviously, with the pandemic being that it has shut down a lot of the in-person visits. It has shut down evaluations. But if there's one thing that you can maybe dissect on video or reading a spreadsheet, it is that fast 40 time. And we love that. We know that Michael Leach loves himself some speed, especially at that slot position in the air raid. What do you envision from Knox being able to translate that into the SEC, where he's going to be able to match up against, you know, some physical defenses? How do you see his game translating to the next level?
Well, the thing for him is that he's going to be able to, especially if he's given a free release, he's going to be able to stack a DB pretty quick and get over the top in the vertical passing game. I think something that he will need to work on is a little more lateral fluidity. Some route running suddenness, especially in the short to intermediate passing game, because he's got the straight line athleticism. I mean, he is a serious burner as a straight line sprinter. And his sophomore year when he was at Southern Lab in Baton Rouge, that really showed on tape. And his junior year transitioning over to Texas, playing 6A ball in Texas, I think he was a little banged up too. There wasn't quite the pop on tape that there was his sophomore year, but he also got, you know, he missed the last several games of the year with a, I think it was an ankle injury. So, you know, I'm anxious to see how he does this fall and see if he's kind of expanded his whole athletic profile in the sense of being a better athlete laterally, showing a little more receiver instinct and acumen, because from a speed standpoint, that's going to translate no matter the conference. Even the SEC, known for, you know, the defensive athleticism and speed on that side of the ball, he has the speed that he's going to be able to beat guys in matchups. And if he can get better as just a natural receiver, and from a technique standpoint, he's going to be pretty dangerous.
We're joined by Gabe Brooks. He covers everything in the state of Texas. He covers Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi. I mean, he's all over the place down south. Gabe, obviously Mississippi State right now in the 40 range. I think they're number 41 in the team rankings. This is just uncharted territory in terms of what Michael Leach was experiencing at a place like Washington State, which is really difficult to recruit to. It's hard for recruits to go up there and visit Pullman, which is on the east part of the state of Washington. Obviously not going to be in the top tier right now. I think he's going to have to see some results on the field to be in that top half of the SEC. But it's a really good start for them. Just, you know, even given the fact that the pandemic has created a lot of potential roadblocks for these programs, especially in a first year staff that uses that spring, uses the summer months to create those relationships with recruits. So obviously those fans at Mississippi State have a lot to be optimistic about, given that they've been able to accomplish what they have during the current situation. So it's going to be interesting to monitor what Leach does, especially now that he's got that rivalry with Lane Kiffin. And you know, we saw them kind of joke around during a press conference this last week. So I think it's going to be just the start of something really fun for both of those programs. Let's switch gears, Gabe, now to the Elite 11 Finals, which kick off this week, and it's well represented by the state of Texas. So the Elite 11 finals will feature Auburn commit Demetrius Davis, Tennessee commit Caden Salter, LSU commit Garrett Nussmeier, Baylor commit Kyron Drones, Texas Tech commit Baron Morton, as well as a couple other players from the state of Texas, Grayson James and Maddox Kopp. Of the committed prospects, Demetrius Davis, who's going to Auburn, Caden Salter, Garrett Nussmeier, Kyron Drones, and Baron Morton, is there one that you feel has the most to prove heading into this week?
You know, I think that it's going to be interesting to see Baron Morton in an elite camp setting against some of these other big-name quarterbacks from Texas. He's somebody who plays for Eastland High School, which is it's a 3A level high school. I believe Abilene area. So it's, you know, once you get west of I-35, there's not near as much fanfare, I guess would be the word, for a lot of these guys, because they're not in the quote unquote Texas Triangle, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and the interstates connecting those three. But it's going to be fun to watch, to see how he compares to these guys, because his game tape, obviously playing at the 3A level, he's pretty dominant. You can see the functional athleticism and the playmaking ability and off-schedule ability, all of that on tape. It'll be interesting to see how he matches up with, you know, Demetrius Davis, who is maybe the most decorated active player in Texas high school football as the starting quarterback of the back-to-back Class 6A Division I state champion North Shore Mustangs, who are one of the best high school programs in the country. Kyron Drones, the starting quarterback at Shadow Creek in the Houston area, which is the defending 5A Division I state champion. Caden Salter, starting quarterback at Cedar Hill, which has won 3 state championships at the 6A level since 2006. I mean, you can go down the line, and some of these guys are these are the guys at the helm of some name programs with a ton of talent. They face a ton of talent in practice. They face a ton of talent in games, and it'll be interesting to see how Morton, who, you know, really dominates the level of play he's in, stacks up physically, performance-wise, all of the above against some of these guys who are playing for these bigger name high school programs.
I remember reading a lot of the reports coming out of the Future 50 event down in Orlando, Florida, to kick off the new year. And that's a marquee event for a lot of underclassmen, players that could potentially get invites to the Under Armour All-America game. And I remember Demetrius Davis, who is now committed to Auburn, had, you know, struggled in that week of workouts. There was a lot of question marks about his arm strength, his accuracy. You know, from a stature standpoint, he's not the biggest or the prototypical quarterback that you would envision. But you put on the tape, and he's making play after play. He's airing the ball downfield. He's really aware in the pocket. He's able to make throws on the run. An event like the Elite 11 Finals might not suit what he does best, which is improvise, right? And be kind of a creative player. Do you feel like he's got things to work on? What would you like to see out of a player like Demetrius Davis?
Yeah, I think that there's a point. I think that people who say that it may not be the best setting for a player like him, they may have a point, because he's so good when plays break down. His feel for the game is very good, as far as, you know, rolling out, making off schedule throws, killing defenses in the scramble drill. The legend of Demetrius Davis really started in December of 2018, when he made a 45-yard touchdown throw with no time remaining in the 6A D1 state title game to beat Duncanville on the final play of the game. And it's that, you know, he knew he had to get it to the end zone, but the way he bought time and stepped into it and threw the ball at the exact spot it needed to go, it's just a microcosm of the feel he has for the game. And, you know, it will be good. It'll be encouraging if he has a big performance at Elite 11. I do think camps, you know, they're important, and they're extra data. I think that's the biggest thing, that they're extra data when you're evaluating these guys. But perhaps more so than any other position, I put game situation really far and away. I mean, it's far and away most important regardless, but especially at the quarterback position. You know, if a guy has a, you know, underwhelming camp thing, but he's an absolutely dominant quarterback in game situations, then I'm not going to worry too much about the camp stuff personally.
Yeah. And if he performs well, it could just be a cherry on top, right, of what he's able to do, because he's got all the other traits that you like in a quarterback, the leadership skills, just the guttiness, him able to face defenses and really drive his side of the his side to the down the field, right? Just popping his tape, I just see a gamer, a guy that likes to go out there and just lead his troops down the field. So it'll be interesting to see what he's able to accomplish at the Elite 11 finals and you know, continue to give Auburn fans some hope there for the quarterback position. Gabe, I really appreciate you joining us and hopping on the podcast once again. We look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right, that's Gabe Brooks. You can follow him on Twitter at Gabriel D. Brooks. He covers everything in the state of Texas and the surrounding states. A reminder, folks, this coming Thursday, we will have our first mailbag episode where we will have the team of analysts answer reader questions, the ones that you've submitted in 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. If you want to be a part of the next mailbag episode, remember to do so. Please leave a review, rate, subscribe, and tell your friends. Thank you so much for listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.